The views and opinions expressed by John and DJ do not reflect those of any intelligent or rational human being and are solely the property of the Brightside Chat.
This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Hey, welcome back to the Bright Side. This is our Week in Comics edition. This week, we're going to be calling it Arrow. I have to go with Arrow. My favorite show on the CW ended. And so this show is dedicated to Arrow, Stephen Amell, all of that. John and I get into, obviously, we talk a little bit about that. And we talk about our books. We had a doozy this week. And you'll have to wait and see what kind of doozy I'm talking about. It threw us for a loop. So hope everybody enjoyed New Comic Book Day yesterday. Let's head into the store and talk about our week. Hey, John, my flight was on time today.
Fantastic.
How you doing?
I'm doing great, man. How are you?
I'm doing all right. So, didn't have to call you today. No phone call needed. So,
nope.
Just showed up here in the store. No thunderstorm slowing my plane down.
Which is awesome.
How's your week been?
So far, so good. Can't complain.
Was it busy today in the store?
Not extremely.
Not really?
No, it's been a rough month, to be honest with you. Sales have been pretty tough, so I don't really know what's going on, but yeah, I wasn't super busy. I had somebody that was fairly behind come in and pick up a bunch of their stuff, so that helped. But
that's a plus.
Yeah, it's a plus. Yeah. But without that happening, it would have been a pretty poor day. So
yeah, I mean, I can't say I'm struggling to find stuff, but there isn't anything big out there. So
no, nothing. I mean, there's just nothing exciting. Really hitting the stands that are bringing people in to.
So
no House of X or Doomsday Clock going on right now.
But is that typical for this time of year? Because, I mean, this is only my second year in, really being intense into it like this and paying attention to everything, so.
Well, I mean, not to get into too much of my financial situation, but,
it's typical. Books.
It's typical of comic book releases to be light this time of year.
Yeah.
It's not typical for January to be a bad month for me, though. It's generally one of the better. I generally ride right out of Christmas, and January and February are usually still pretty solid.
Right.
Just hasn't been this year. Again, the offerings from the comics haven't helped.
Right.
But
well,
like I said,
we had
traditionally,
Daredevil.
Yeah, but that's not a huge seller.
Not huge. Us it was, but.
Yeah. But like I said, the comic releases are generally pretty slow January and February, but. I usually have enough, residual Christmas money spending and, early tax return spending and all that stuff happening that this year so far hasn't translated. So we'll see. I'm still hoping it'll bounce. Well, I'm really hoping it bounces back because I need it to. But
yeah.
I'm hoping. Hopefully, it's just a down month and it'll pick back up in the next few weeks.
Well, let's see if we can't do something about that and get some comic talk going.
All right.
That's what we're here for. From the other day, we had Dr. Joe from our show the other day. He just saw the title of it and thought he'd tweet out.
Yeah, I saw that.
He's like, I haven't had a chance to listen yet.
I'm like, but here's all but my I'd thoughts.
Say, yeah, exactly. But I'd say that Nolan made the comic hero/story more realistic and plausible. I think Ledger's Joker is the best representation of the character, and as long as the story is well done, Batman doesn't need the Joker.
Yeah.
So he pretty much nailed our show without listening.
Pretty much. That's what we said.
Yep. So. So on the same wavelength. But yeah, it's I had a funny conversation with with TJ last night. On the bench.
Yeah.
We're in a hockey game, in the middle of a hockey game, and we're both sweating and breathing heavy, and he looks at me and he goes, what's up with John's mic? Your audio at the beginning of the show on Monday. And I was like,
oh, well, that was you messing with my audio.
No. The whole first half of the show.
That's when we left because I lost it all.
Yeah, you lost it.
Yeah.
So I was like, what are you talking about? I'm like, he goes, in that Joker show. And I was like, Joker? We haven't done Joker. But then we started laughing because I'm like, oh, yeah, Dark Knight, which we spent the whole show talking about.
Oh, okay. The Joker show. Well, that was months ago.
Exactly.
It's funny, though, because when I listened back to it, I didn't really notice the difference in the mic at all. To me, it flowed through the whole show. So.
No, really?
Yeah.
I
didn't notice it. So.
I could hear it. Yeah. What do you got for news?
Very little, actually.
All right.
Really, the only story I had is old news at this point, because it seems like it broke probably last Friday. But it was all the nonsense going around with the Obi-Wan show on Disney Plus.
Oh, yeah.
You know, first it went from, you know, basically being canceled to being indefinitely postponed. And now, you know, Ewan McGregor has come out and said that all that's BS and everything's fine. And production is going to start a little bit later, but it shouldn't affect the release date is what
right. He's
saying.
That's what he said. Yeah.
Now, again, you know, who knows how accurate that is, but he should be fairly in the loop because he has to schedule, you know, he has to know what the schedule is for shooting
for his stuff. Yeah.
For his stuff. So I'm sure he's fairly well aware of what's going on. I mean, he is the star of the show. You know, and then and talks of it going from 6 episodes down to 4 episodes and, you know, all kinds of stuff going on. And who knows really what the deal is. But according to Ewan McGregor, there's nothing to worry about. So I'm not worried about it. You know?
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, I liken it to all the talk we had with Sony and Marvel over the summer and Spider-Man and all the issues. Yeah. And it's just like, let's let it play out because it's not like it's due in the next couple months.
Right.
It's not like they have it and they're like, oh, you know, like Wonder Woman. That got delayed by a year.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's
and like you said, you know, it's clickbait that everybody falls into it because, again, it's
right.
one outlet reports this. And then it's picked up by 37 other clickbait websites. And then to the point where that's literally all you see for an entire 3 days on all your social media are different stories about Obi-Wan. And,
yeah.
You know, it really all is much ado about nothing because, you know, at the end of the day, everything is fine. So,
yep. Just let it play out.
And that, like, hey, that's really all I had. I didn't have, I was looking for news all afternoon today and I really couldn't find anything. So.
Oh, okay. Well, let's see. I got a couple things here. Rumors. I know this isn't comic books, but I do like these movies. Mel Gibson and Danny Glover are going to be doing a Lethal Weapon 5.
Saw that. Yeah.
I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
I'd like to see that.
No surprise at this point. I mean,
they want to make money.
Yeah, I mean, there's no original properties left in Hollywood, so let's go back to the 80s and reboot everything that made money in the 80s.
Yeah, exactly.
But, you know, with Rambo 5 and Rocky 72 and all this other stuff, it doesn't surprise me that, you know, I mean, look how Bad Boys 3 has, you know, been number one for 3 weeks in the box office. So,
right.
Clearly, nostalgia pays, and, you know, those movies always did well. Lethal Weapon. Well, the first two were great. 3 and 4 were mediocre. But, you know, we'll see. I'm sure if they get back, everybody will be on board for it.
Yeah.
So, I don't know if Mel Gibson, I guess he's paid his dues in Hollywood and people are ready to see him in movies again.
I guess.
He was kind of on the outs for a while. Doing a lot
I'm
of
wondering
work behind the camera and not necessarily in front of it.
I was actually wondering when I saw that news about Lethal Weapon 5 if that actually delayed it. You know, they thought of it years ago to do it and it got delayed because I think it's cool Richard Donner's back too.
Yeah.
As a director, so that should be fun. Did you happen to see Fandom? They released, I don't know if they're the only ones that had it. It was via at NXO on Netflix. The Henry Cavill breaks down the details that went into a particularly memorable Witcher fight. Did you see that?
No.
I'll retweet that. It was really good. He just basically, remember the fight where the guy shot the, it was in the streets and it started off like it was like a gang of people looking at him and they shot a, like a crossbow at him and he deflected the crossbow and then he went into that whole battle with him.
Yeah.
He breaks down the whole fight and like the stunt coordination and everything like that. It was pretty cool. It's pretty cool to watch. Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't know if you'd seen it. All right, been dying to get to this. Did you see Arrow this week?
Yep, sure did.
What'd you think?
I mean, I thought it was a okay ending. You know, I guess he didn't show up at all. Like, we were kind of speculating that how are they going to do two episodes without Stephen Amell?
Well, he did, but it was all flashback.
It was all flashbacks, which we kind of talked about last week how
right.
At this point I thought anything he did was flashbacks. I mean, without spoilers, he did the very last, obviously he came back for the last scene of the episode. But everything else we saw in him was flashbacks. So.
No, but those flashbacks were all remade.
Yeah, like
him and Diggle in the bunker.
Yeah, but it was kind of, yeah, he was there, but he wasn't kind of thing, you know? I mean, there was no present day Oliver, like nobody got to say goodbye to him or anything.
Oh, right. Yeah.
It was all, I mean, yes, he reacted to it. I mean, I'm not saying like he didn't react those scenes because he did.
Right.
But,
yeah.
But I mean, he wasn't there in the present for anybody to interact with or, you know, say goodbye to or anything, like that. So, but yeah, I mean, it was okay. I don't know. I mean, I don't know what else I would have wanted, but.
Right. Well, I would have wanted to see him come back as Spectre.
Well, that's it. That's what I'm saying. I guess I would have wanted him to be able to, I wanted people to be able to say goodbye to him, I guess, you know? I mean, they did answer how Mia was able to be there at the funeral, which was good. I thought it was good that they brought back young William, into the episode.
Yes.
Which was cool, and
all the characters that came back, and how it you're starting to the one thing we have the only show we have left is Flash to see how it dealt with Crisis or the issues that that show is going to have dealing with Crisis, because now we're 2 weeks into Legends didn't air this week, so we only have one episode
of we've had two Supergirls and two Batwomans.
Two Batwomans. I haven't seen Black Lightning yet this week, but I don't even know if it aired, to be honest with you. But I thought, I'm really liking what both Batwoman and Supergirl have done since the Crisis.
I like the
twists that they put on it. I mean, in Supergirl, having Lex Luthor now seems like a permanent figure.
At least for now.
That's really good.
I like that too. And like I said, at least the rest of this season, I would imagine he's going to be.
Yeah.
Pretty.
I haven't seen any contract talk.
No, I haven't either.
But I like the fact that they did. I mean, they're clearly paying attention to the fans because everybody loved him in those three episodes. I mean, even after the first episode, people were like, you and I said, there's only two more.
Right.
We were disappointed in it. So it's nice what they've done there.
Well, the one thing I wanted to get, not to get back to, like, I don't want to do a full retrospective on the Arrow finale, but I felt like they did, you know, they did right by everybody except for Laurel, you know? It's like, they specifically brought back the Earth 2 Laurel just because she's in the spinoff, you know?
Right.
Because story wise, they really should have done right by, like, Earth 1 Laurel.
Do you know what's so funny? It's funny you say that, because I think that's actually a pretty funny conversation. So I read I was looking for a bunch of articles on that today, because you're right. I felt the same way about Laurel and about, is that Katie Cassidy?
Yeah, Katie Cassidy.
That plays the part.
Yeah.
So, and I felt like it, and I even felt it for, like, Katie Cassidy, like, they didn't bring that Laurel back. I'm like, but she's still Laurel, just the wrong one. You feel for the character, which is a made-up thing.
Well, you feel for the character, but you also feel for, like, poor Tommy. right?
Right.
Like, his they bring Tommy back to life from the dead, but then they don't bring his wife back. They bring back the other one that he gets to see at the funeral and say, oh, well, I guess it's kind of nice that I get to see you.
He kind of hits on her.
Even though you brought everybody else back to life, but couldn't be bothered to bring my wife back to life. You know?
I'm wondering
it's
if
like,
they're
why
gonna,
didn't you
if
just leave me
play
dead?
Out.
You know?
Well, I'm wondering if that's going to play out,
though.
I mean, in the spinoff.
I guess, but I don't
because
know.
Because she's
gonna...
in that.
Well, and, but Earth 2 Laurel's in it.
Right, yeah. But there's...
And then they never addressed at the end of this... At the end of Arrow, they never addressed how the other Canary ended up in 2040 either. The police commissioner there, whatever her name is.
Yes, that was kind of a weird thread.
Yeah, it was
kind of
like they left it dangling. Like, now, maybe they'll address it more in the new show. But like in the new show, well, basically last week's episode, she just said, I woke up here after the funeral. And,
right.
But there was nothing that happened in this episode that would have sent her there, you know?
Yeah, so that's all we know is that she rides away on a motorcycle. And next thing you know, the next thing she knows is 20 years later.
Right.
So I don't know.
I'm sure that they, I mean, obviously the writers are smart people, so they'll probably address it going forward in the new show, but I would have thought they would have given us some at the end of the episode, somehow she would have teleported to the future or something.
Right.
But it didn't really, it didn't happen. And then I guess the other, like, I don't know, did they bring Renee's daughter back to life? They never really addressed her.
That would all be in the future.
But I guess that would be in the future. Because I guess in the current timeline, she was still a young kid.
A little girl, yeah.
So maybe she just doesn't die.
I love that line by Felicity when she's like, yeah, that's her there, but she's home.
She's at home.
Teething.
Yeah, she's at home in diapers. Yeah, because I thought it was odd because we had seen like when Felicity left the show, you saw her training Mia as an adult.
Right.
So when Felicity first walked into the bunker and she walked right past Mia,
I think she was just trying to avoid her. She knew who she was.
Well, I was going to say, did she know? I don't know if she did know who she was at that point. And I was, well, how would she? How would she know that it was
her daughter? Oh, that's true, too. That version of her
hasn't never
seen her yet. You're right.
But it didn't click in my head at that point. And I was like, I was like, that's pretty effing cold that she just walked right by her daughter. And then as the episode played out and she said she's at home teething, and I was like, oh, yeah, she's never seen her at that age.
Right.
She just thought it was some blonde chick.
That looks just like her.
Yeah, but...
Talk about great casting.
I know.
Jeez.
But yeah, that was a cool moment, too, when they kind of met, you know.
Yeah, at the funeral when she came up to her.
And I said, I thought it had the right emotional beats and all that stuff, but something about it kind of left me feeling a little bit lacking by the end. And I think it was just because we didn't see Stephen Amell really get to say goodbye to his family.
Spectre, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you got the cool ending, which again, I'm trying not to spoil, but you know,
it's all over the internet.
Yeah,
you might as well
say, you got the ending with Felicity and Oliver, and you know where she went. You know, and I've seen a lot of backlash on that today on social media too, because basically she died, right? She went to the afterlife.
Well,
to be
that's
with Oliver.
What I'm wondering,
and then it's like, so you sacrifice your time with your daughter to go die to be with your husband, and it's like,
well, that's what I mean. Did she? I don't see. That's the thing. It's like, she didn't commit suicide?
Well, no, but he said where you're going, there's no coming back from.
There's no coming back, right?
Which you
but
know, we're,
this is comic books.
Well, I don't think Emily I don't think she will be in the new show.
No.
I don't think she wants to be.
Right.
Because if she wanted to be, they'll figure out a way to bring her back.
Exactly.
Know? If she ever comes in two seasons from now and says, you know, I can't get any work anywhere else, so maybe I'll come back to the Arrowverse, they'll figure out. They'll figure out a way to get her back. You know.
Yeah. But, yeah. It's. What did you think of? Or what do you think was in the box that Diggle found?
Well, I know exactly what was in the box.
Well, they haven't said.
I do.
I'm wondering if they're doing a rope-a-dope. Because no.
I don't think so. It's the Green Lantern ring. I mean, we all know he's John Stewart, right? He's been John Stewart.
Right.
So, it had to be the Green Lantern ring. Now, whether that ever plays out, because then it started, my mind started racing, and I was like, I wonder if he comes back to the HBO Max show as John
right.
Stewart.
Exactly.
Maybe he does. You know, maybe he's part of that show. I think that would be awesome. But I don't know if they'll do it, because then he'll still have ties to Arrow, because he'll still be John Diggle. You know what I mean? And I don't know if they want to have any connection to the Arrowverse with that new show or not.
Why not? They use the Arrowverse to link everything anyways.
I know, but that's the only reason why I could think that they might not do it. I think it would be awesome if they do it. Like, I really would like... I mean, we know they're doing a Green Lantern show anyways. We know it's probably going to be Hal Jordan and John Stewart anyway.
Right.
So why not make it David Ramsey? I mean, I feel like he'd be game for it. Like, I think he'd be down if they offered it to
well,
him.
Well, he's not allowed to talk.
Right.
I just watched his interview on DC Universe that aired today, and they asked him. I read a bunch of things, including Mark Guggenheim, and they're all like, we're not saying anything.
Well, you know what? When you're not allowed
which means
to say...
Exactly.
There's
that
something
means
to
there's
not
something.
Say. Right.
Yeah, exactly. So it's that, you know, and like you said, though, but are they not saying because they don't know where his show is going to land?
Right.
Is it, I mean, I hope it's that, you know, on HBO Max, but
I just don't think
I don't care. I'll watch it wherever it lands.
I don't think there'll be two different Green Lantern shows. That's the only reason why I said that, because
right.
You know they're developing one for HBO Max anyways. And quite honestly, a Green Lantern show is a little bit outside the CW's budget, I think, for a weekly show. I mean, because you have all the ring and the constructs. I mean, you get a lot of CG that has to happen for a Green Lantern show. And I think it would make more sense for HBO Max than it would for a CW. Because, I mean, if we got it on the CW, I don't think they'd do it justice. We'd get a lot of just beams coming out of the ring, but I don't know if we'd see giant elephants and, you know, roller coasters and, you know, all this stuff. So, so we'll see.
Just beams.
Well, you know, they can do beams. That's easy. You know, you just CGI, you just get a green magic marker and you just, you know, right across the film cells with it. Like, I'm talking like they do film cells anymore. Like, it's not all digital.
Right. <know? laughs> Exactly. Across the film cells. It's definitely, I loved the show. I watched it first thing this morning and then I watched it again when I got home from work. I felt kind of the same way as you. I don't know if part of that is that I'm going to miss the show too. It's like, it's over.
I am, but, you know, like, we were both so ready for it to be done.
I know.
Like, going into this year, it was kind of like, I'm ready for Arrow to be gone. It's played out. But now that it's gone, it's like, I'm kind of going to miss it a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I mean, we're still going to have a Green Arrow. It's just not, you know, it's just not going to be Stephen Amell.
So, right.
I mean, you'll get your archery fix either way.
Exactly. So, I don't know if I've said this on the show. I don't know if I've said it to you, but we've said before our logo has meaning in everything that's on there. And if I haven't said it before, the green television, the reason television is green is because of Green Arrow.
Oh, yeah.
That's why I picked it that way. Yeah. The red has meaning and the blue has meaning. And I haven't said anything about that yet. But yeah, the green for television in our logo is because of Green Arrow being on television. So.
Cool. Yeah, no.
That's why I put that in there. Yeah, I figured today was a good day to break that one out.
Cool.
All right, we got anything else? Let's see. What else do we got? Have you been watching Clone Wars?
I have.
How far up are you?
I am super excited because I am finally at the point where I don't have to mess around with the episodes anymore.
Oh, so you're into season 4 already?
No, but I'm at the back half of season 3.
Oh, yeah.
And it I'm good all the way until the first episode of season 5.
Yeah, only like two left,
And there's only one. There's episode 501 jumps to like the middle of season 5. And then, and at this point, I might just let it play through and not even worry about that one episode.
Yeah.
Because now I could just lay there in bed and I don't have to have my iPad open. I can just keep hitting play.
So,
but yeah, maybe I just watched the episode where they finished up on Dathomir with you know, the the guys going to look for Darth Maul. So,
oh yeah, yeah,
yeah. So that's where I'm at.
Did you get to the part? And this cracked me up because I'm like, when we did our Star Wars stuff, and you had your thing about carbon freezing, and they don't know. Did you get to the part where the Obi-Wan and Anakin are carbon frozen?
Spoilers. No, I haven't.
Well, you've seen the show before.
I know. No, I haven't. I haven't got.
Yeah, they get frozen, and like they know how to thaw them out. They're trying. It's when they have to sneak in,
which would have been somewhere. Way before Return of the Jedi. So.
Exactly.
So then
exactly.
I don't understand the Return of the Jedi why they were so confused by it. They should have known this technology.
Well, nobody was really confused because that's the thing. 3PO actually knew.
Yeah.
Remember in Jedi. So that's why I was like, because you'd seen the show. I'm like, there's the answer. And have you heard the Wilhelm scream yet?
Yes. I just heard it the other day.
It was, a trooper, I think.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I did hear it.
Got blown up and you hear the, the scream. It was really good.
All the time now.
Yeah, I know.
Now it seems, well, because it's my text tone on my phone.
Oh, is it?
So, yeah.
So every time I text you?
Yeah, but now I'm, but because of that, it seems like my ears are super attuned to it now. So every time I hear it in a movie, well, it's like, oh, there's, because something I was watching the other day, I can't even remember what the last Star Wars movie I watched was. I mean, it would have been Rise of Skywalker, but it wasn't. But sometimes, one of those movies, it appeared twice. And I can't remember. Yeah. It had to have been.
It might have been Rise of Skywalker. I think.
But I heard it twice in the movie. And
I remember one distinctly in Rise of Skywalker when they snuck on to the ship.
Yeah.
And remember, they used the passcode that what's her name, Kerry Russell, gave them. They snuck onto the ship, and one of the stormtroopers, when they shot up that landing bay, the stormtroopers, I heard it there.
But yeah, because that was definitely the last Star Wars movie I've watched, so I guess it had to be that. Oh no, you know what it was? It was the Clone Wars movie. That was actually the last Star Wars movie I watched, and it happens twice in that movie.
Oh, episode 2?
No, the Clone Wars movie, like the anime, like
oh,
to go with the show. But there's a movie that you watch too.
Yeah.
Yeah, it
was
in
the beginning, right?
Yeah. That it was in that movie twice.
Right.
So
did you see Batwoman this week?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did you see the scene? This has really nothing to do with comic books. It's just, I thought it was a funny thing in the scene. Did you see the scene at the end of the show when Alice, I believe, had a gun to Sophie's head?
I was waiting for you to continue.
Okay. So she had a gun to her head. If you look at it, the gun has no opening for the barrel.
Oh no, I didn't notice that.
Yeah, because they're awesome. Really close on the it's a tight shot on Sophie's head, and it's, you know, it's on your full TV screen with the 16:9 screen. You could see Alice, and she's got the gun right to her head, and it's like from the back, so you can see where the barrel would be, and it's just flat.
I didn't notice it, but
yeah, I was like,
it doesn't have a hole in it. That's awesome.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, I just thought that was funny. Anything else? I think that's all we got.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Are you ready to get into some comic books here? Let's make you some money.
All right.
Everybody will flock down to
them. Yeah, they're all going to come to buy these books.
Exactly. All right. What am I spending my money on this week?
All right. So first book we have is Fallen Angels number 6. There's a Dark Phoenix variant that seems to be selling for $6 to $8. So almost double cover price there. We have Ice Cream Man issue number 17. The A cover is a homage cover to Action Comics number 1.
I just hear Eddie Murphy in my head.
Oh, yeah.
Ice Cream Man!
Yeah, I was like, wait a minute, why? No, I didn't even order this book, so I don't even know what it looked like. But it looks like one sold for $15, and the listings are between $13 and $15 on eBay. So I mean, I didn't have anybody come in looking for it, even though, like I said, I didn't order any. Anyways. New Mutants issue 6 has a Dark Phoenix variant. A lot of sales between $6 and $8 on this one. Star Wars Picard issue number 3. So obviously the show is generating the interest here. Issues 1 and 2 are sold out at like $20-$25 a piece. I think we talked about those last week in our back issue bonus. But number 3 came out today. The main cover is selling for $6 to $8, but the 1 in 10 variant is selling for right around $30. So, a lot of interest still on that. I don't know if you got a chance to see Picard, but I thought it was great.
I did, and I figured we'd save that for the Monday show.
Okay, well, let's do that. We got a second printing of Star Wars: Rise of Kylo Ren issue number 1. That's selling for $6 to $7 a piece. Thor issue number 2. So I didn't get a chance to read this one today, but apparently there's some kind of reference to the DC universe in the book. Like I said, I didn't get to look at it because I did sell out of this. I had a lot of people looking for it, and I had several people looking for it after I'd sold out. Now, again, unfortunately, this is something that we didn't know ahead of time, so I didn't order.
Right.
I didn't order any extra copies of this for the shelf.
Could have made your month.
Normal. Yeah. Yeah, those extra 3 that I could have sold would have really made a difference. But yeah, I sold out on day 1 of this, so it's not really seeing an increase in price online yet. And like I said, this is probably just an Easter egg somewhere. You know, I mean, they play with each other back and forth all the time.
Yeah.
So, but whatever it is, people were definitely looking for it today. There's Weapon Plus World War 4. There's a Skon variant cover that's selling for $9 to $13 online. So definitely have people looking for that. And then last but not least, we had X-Force also had a Dark Phoenix variant. This is selling for $6 to $10. So pretty much in line with all the Dark Phoenix variants that came out today. And that's it for Speculator Books.
All right, what do we have this week in back issue bonus?
All right, so the first book we have is Fear Agent number 1. This was announced as being picked up by Amazon. We actually talked about this last week. You know, of course, you know the drill, right? When anything gets announced by a streaming service, the number 1 issue goes crazy. This one's selling for $40 to $50 right now. So definitely one to pick up. Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic issue number 9. This is the first full appearance of Darth Revan. This is selling for $40 to $50. A couple of weeks ago you could have got this for cover price, but Darth, you know, there's so many rumors going on now with Knights of the Old Republic and, you know, what's going to happen with Star Wars going forward, and, you know, Darth Revan would play heavily in a Old Republic storyline. So definitely one to pick up if you can get it at a good price.
Cool.
Vengeance, issue number 1. This is the first appearance of America Chavez. This one's kind of it goes up and down all the time, but now there's rumors that she's going to appear in Doctor Strange 2. So, you know, again, I don't know where these rumors are coming from. Like, I don't know what the foundation for that rumor is, but
right.
As it is, the book's selling for about $50, so... whether it holds up or not, I guess Doctor Strange 2 will be the answer. You know, if she shows up, it'll probably double or triple this. If she doesn't, you know, it won't be worth anything. So we'll see. And then Captain America 354. This is the first appearance of U.S. Agent. This was about a $5 book. Now it's selling for $15 to $20. John Walker is pretty much been confirmed to appear in the Falcon Winter Soldier TV show on Disney Plus. So I could definitely see this one holding and potentially going even higher. Captain America 323 was actually the first appearance of John Walker. And that's selling for $30 to $50. So either one of those would be a good pickup. Cause like I said, that's a guarantee.
That's going to get,
yeah, it's definitely going to go up.
That's didn't they announce that too this week?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. John Walker, he's been confirmed for.
But I'm saying the show is going to be on. Didn't they give the dates? Isn't it? I thought I saw that.
I didn't see it, but I did see something. Well, I saw that they released something about the date, but to be honest with you, I didn't click on the link and read it, so I couldn't tell you.
Yeah.
Couldn't tell you when it is. And then also, we talked about this a little bit last week, but Justice League Dark issue number one. You know, J.J. Abrams was attached to some Justice League Dark properties last week. So this one is now selling for $15 to $20. So, again, take that for what it's worth. If those rumors turn out to be false, then this is probably going to, you know, fall back down again. But for now, it seems to be on the rise. And that's it for back issue bonus.
All right. Let's get into this week's FOC for next Monday.
All right. So from Dark Horse Comics, we have Hidden Society. This is issue number 1 of 4, and there's 2 covers for that. From DC Comics, we have variant covers for Batgirl 44. This is Terry and Rachel Dodson. We have Batman Curse of the White Knight number 7. That's Sean Murphy. Flash 750, this has the Decades covers, just like, you know, Wonder Woman had last week. So there's 10 or 11 covers for this. So again, pick your favorite and go ahead and order that from the store. And then Wonder Woman 752 has a Jenny Frison variant cover. DC has 2 new series. We have Amethyst, issue number 1 of 6. There's 2 covers for that. And then this is just a one-shot, but this is Leviathan Dawn, number 1. And there's only 1 cover for it. From IDW, it looks like this was re-FOC'd because I could swear we talked about this last week.
Yeah.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Jenica, issue number 1. Again, this is going to be 3 issues for that. Marvel has variant covers for Avengers 31. There's a J. Scott Campbell, Gwen Stacy variant cover. And then new series from Marvel, we have Forceworks 2020. This is issue number 1 of 3. We have Falcon and Winter Soldier, number 1 of 5. And Giant Size X-Men, number 1. And all 3 of those have multiple covers. And then last but not least, from Vault Comics, we have Finger Guns, number 1. And there's 2 covers for that.
Cool.
That's it.
All right. And while you were reading that off, I looked up Falcon Winter Soldier. And this is from the Collider. 2 days ago, they basically said it's been announced that it's being released in August.
Okay.
But there's no specific date yet.
I think that's a little earlier than we were expecting, though.
Exactly.
So that's pretty good.
And that's the talk that I think we both heard is like, oh, we're getting it sooner than you thought. And
yeah,
the same with WandaVision. I thought WandaVision was supposed to be coming sooner than we thought, too, like a spring release or something.
Well, that's good because, like I said, they really don't have anything happening right now. So,
right. Well, I'm wondering if some of these things are getting bumped up because – I've read talking to people that I haven't seen the reports myself. I've heard that Disney lost a lot of subscribers. Like a lot of people, once Mandalorian was done, I think a lot of people dropped off. And I think that's what a lot of these, you know, subscription services are going to find, that if you don't have anything, you know, we've talked about it many times. You just drop off because you'll pick something else up. If there's nothing keeping you there, you'll just, you know, you'll save your money and wait for something to come out.
I think so too, but I'm just a little skeptical on those reports because I wonder how many people actually go month to month. Like, did not almost everybody just sign up for a full year of Disney Plus? You know,
well,
I think
they probably dropped more than they thought and, you know, more than you would think. Because,
yeah.
I mean, people like you and I, yes, but.
Well,
I know I did read these reports
month, so
on Disney Plus?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, cuz I do the 3 package deal.
Oh, okay. So yeah, a lot of people might have done that and then they just drop it off.
Yeah.
And I did read this that I know Apple kicked it in the fourth quarter. They were the top. They beat out Netflix and Disney Plus.
Well, it's because everybody got it for free. You know what I mean?
Well, not, yeah, but a lot of people got, Disney Plus had a huge promotion. But their shareholders, that's what I was reading it about. Like the shareholders were talking about it.
Yeah.
And it was like they had a huge fourth quarter because of that Apple Plus TV. And they had probably the most content added.
Well, yes and no, because I mean everything they had was original, but they don't have a library. Like there is no
correct.
Yeah,
right.
So I mean, as far as the amount of content, I would think they're way behind. But in the sense of, in the sense of original programming, I mean, yeah, they beat everybody,
right?
Because everything they have is original. So
yep. That's what I meant, but they're the most original, most content that you'd need to have the service to see it.
Right.
Because, you know, I mean, yeah, we all loved having Star Wars on Disney Plus, but most of us have it.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, all right. Nice little sidebar there.
Hey, that's what we're all about.
Are you ready to, what's that?
That's what we're all about, sidebars.
Exactly. Tangents.
Yep.
All right, you ready to get in? It's time to check out.
Yeah.
I think that's what we're calling it, right?
Well, that's what you told me last week. Yeah, I never know.
exactly.
I just show up.
All right. Time to check out then.
I just talk when you tell me to talk.
Yeah. Okay, John, what did you check out this week?
All right, so the first book I checked out was Frankenstein Undone, issue number 1. This is a 5-issue miniseries from Dark Horse Comics, written by Mike Mignola and Scott Ale, and it had art by Ben Stenbeck. So I didn't realize when I picked this up that this actually takes place in Mike Mignola's Hellboy world, and I guess Frankenstein's a character there. I don't read.
Is that what that was?
Yeah, I don't read Hellboy.
So I read it.
I don't know.
I don't either. I read this book,
but
though.
Yeah. But that being said, like I picked up the book and read it, and again, didn't feel like I had to have known that he was part of Hellboy's world or anything. I mean, I felt like the book stood on its own just fine. You know, this is, I mean, everybody knows Frankenstein, so there's nothing here to really explain. I mean, we all know Frankenstein. We know the story. This book pretty much picks up, I guess, right after he kills Frankenstein. He kills his creator.
Right.
You know, obviously Frankenstein is the doctor. You know, we're dealing with the monster here. And then, you know, it's kind of like his, well, actually, you know, he kills Frankenstein and then wants to kill himself, basically wants to commit suicide. And then
right.
You know, that plan gets thwarted. And then there's a series of events that takes place. I actually liked this book. I really liked the interaction with like the polar bears and like that whole thing.
And I don't give it away.
Yeah, I don't want to spoil it, but it was like he was recognized as, I guess, part of the family by the polar bears.
Yeah. And, I think you're to infer that he spent a lot of time with them.
Yeah.
Cause it only takes a couple pages, but he became part of their family.
Right. But you're supposed to, I think so too. You're supposed to think that he spent some time there. But you know, I liked the monologue, you know, there was 2 points where he said he was, you know, wanted to end his life.
Yeah. And,
but I forget how it was worded, but his spirit or whatever had other plans, you know,
right.
Something along those lines. But yeah, I thought this was a little bit of a different take on the Frankenstein myth. And I like where it went. And, you know, I thought the art was okay. It seemed to fit the book, but it wasn't the best artwork. But I don't know. Overall, I thought it was pretty good. I'm definitely interested in reading the next issue.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought so too. Yeah. I was surprised. I saw it on the shelf this morning and I was like, oh, that looks interesting. I like Mary Shelley's Frankenstein. So
yeah.
I'll try this one too. That was really good.
Yeah.
So, first one I'm going to talk about, I read, let's go with Amazing Spider-Man Daily Bugle.
Okay.
Marvel Comics, writer Matt Johnson, art by Mac Chatter, and cover art by Mark Bagley. This was pretty good. Did you see this one? Did you read this one?
I didn't read it. I saw it. But no, I didn't get a chance to read it.
It's a pretty good Spider-Man story. He has a limited role in this one.
It's much more about the Bugle than it is Spider-Man.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. Lot of, well-known characters showing up, smaller ones, bigger ones. And I just like the story. It was different. That's all I'll say.
Yeah.
It was different take. There's some mystery to it. Spider-Man does show up. There is some really good humor in there. I really like the artwork. I just thought it was a fun read. Again, I'm looking for that fun read type thing, something lighter. And this had mystery. It was fun. It was light. I really enjoyed it.
Okay. Yeah, I'll have to take, like I said, I guess I'll take your recommendation, because I was going to steer clear of this, to be honest with you. I just think, you know, with the stands being so crowded with Spider-Man material.
Spider-Man, yeah.
This was not very high on my list of things. Like, the thing I don't care about is where he works. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to read about the Daily Planet either. You know, so, but I mean, if you're saying it's good, I'll probably give it a read.
Yeah, I'll be interested to see what you think of it.
Yeah.
I felt the same way, and that's probably why I had a better outlook on it after the fact, because when I read it, I was like, you know, there's so much Spider-Man out there, but this was just a little bit different, and yeah, I liked it. I liked it.
Cool.
All right, let's get into this one.
I feel like you already know.
I read it.
This is Protector that we promised we were both going to read, so we had no choice. Protector issue number one.
Last time I make a promise.
I know. Yeah, I know, because honestly, if it wasn't for that promise.
Oh, my God.
Protector issue 1 of 5. This is Image Comics. It was written by Simon Roy and Daniel Benson. It has art by... Art.
That's debatable.
Yeah, Artoyum. I'm guessing Artoyum.
Trakanov.
He has art right in his name, so you would think he'd be better at it. So this is, how do I say, yet another dystopian post-apocalyptic future, taking place in around year 3000 AD. Something along those lines. So I've already inferred that I thought the art was atrocious in this book. I didn't enjoy it at all.
I'll probably give one of the worst opinions I could ever give and that I'll ever give. I thought that not only was it bad, it distracted me so badly I was confused.
Yes, I couldn't even pay attention to what was going on the page because the art was so bad.
I couldn't make out what some of it was.
Well, right, that's what I mean. I didn't know what was going on. I couldn't figure out what I was looking at. The story was terrible. The art, honestly, I have nothing good to say about this book. It takes place in the city of Chicago. Spelt. It took me a second to sound that out too. I don't know if you picked up on it instantly, but I'm going Chicago, and then I'm like, oh wait, this is Earth in the future. Oh, Chicago.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay, this is like they knew the name of the city, but nobody knew how to read or write anymore, so they had to phonetically spell it out. I don't even really know what was happening in this book. I mean, I've read the synopsis, so I know what is supposed to happen in the series going forward, but I'm not going to get there. I don't care enough to go further. I almost put this down halfway through, but I didn't feel like it was fair to talk about it if I didn't actually read the entire book. So I read the entire book so I could tell you how much I disliked it. Your thoughts?
Ditto, okay. Ditto. I mean, I don't want to pile on.
I know. I hate when books, when we have to talk about books like this, but it really wasn't good. So.
Yeah, it was, you know what though? I read at the end, I read about the, did you read after
didn't
the
care enough
book?
To read it. No, I did not.
There's a lot of stuff in there and it kind of made me feel bad because there's a lot of stuff in it, and it's written in, like, you know, type.
Yeah, yeah.
Normal font, so you could read it. It was a little more clear.
Yeah, it was like your encyclopedia of the characters right. in the world. It was all the world building.
Yeah.
But I didn't care enough to go. I knew I wasn't going to read number two. And I didn't care enough to go into the background.
Yeah,
of any of
I just wanted to
characters.
See what it was, and I'm like, so, it was tough.
Yeah.
It was really tough. So let's see. Let me see if I can.
So if you all could right. save this, I didn't read anything else today except for those two books. So it's up to
okay.
you. It's up to you to take us out on a high note.
All right. So I read Ravencroft number one.
Okay.
I thought that was good, especially considering that I didn't finish Absolute Carnage.
Right.
Like we had started that and we kind of, I don't know if you did.
I did. I read it all.
You read it all?
Yeah.
So I fell off on that. I can't remember what I got distracted. Maybe was it X-Men came
House
out?
House of X, yeah.
House of X came after that. So I got distracted. I wasn't able to keep up. I liked Ravencroft number one.
Okay.
I'll probably pick up more at the, you know, after the fact. It has a, like I said, I'm not locked into, I'm not going to be seeking out number two.
Right.
But the ending was pretty good.
Okay.
It's, I don't want to give it away, but it's got some really good humor in it. Misty Knight is basically, she's working there and she's like, she's got like a support group for the criminals and it's pretty funny.
Okay.
It's pretty cool. That's at the beginning. And then it gets more into the story. And then at the end, there's a pretty good reveal.
Yeah. I didn't read any of the lead-in books to this.
Yeah, I didn't either. So that's why I was interested to see how that would go.
Yeah.
So but I liked it. I enjoyed it.
Okay.
And let's see what else I read. Oh, you know what else I read today? I hadn't even heard of it. Maybe you have more of a background on it. Captain Marvel, The End, number one.
Well, there's no background to have. Marvel's
a one-off.
Yeah, Marvel's doing a series of one-offs this month. Basically, The End. They did Venom last week, and I don't know. There was two of them last week, and then this week we had Deadpool, Captain Marvel, and Doctor Strange. Yep. I read Venom, The End. I read both of them last week, but I didn't read any of this week's books yet. But yeah, so they're all one-off stories.
Yeah, it's I liked that one. That was a good, and it's short investment.
Yeah,
you know, it's one story,
just one book.
I liked it. I liked the art. I thought it was a good story, and a, you know, interesting ending. Is it, you know?
Cool. Yeah, I'm definitely.
What do you call that? An Elseworld story?
Yeah, and I'm definitely on board for those. Like I said, because I read the other ones last week, and to be honest with you, I couldn't really get through the Venom one. It was where it really wasn't very good. But I'll read all of these this week too.
Yeah, and then the other things I read today, no more number ones, but I read Star Wars number two.
Yeah,
that's really good. Obviously we both said we one and
I'll definitely be reading that because I liked one a lot.
Two's much of the same and a lot of good backstory there. Some interesting, really very interesting ending.
Yeah.
You'll like it. I know you will. You'll probably text me right after you see it.
Oh, okay.
And, then Jessica Jones Blind Spot number two.
Yeah. Definitely want to read that too.
Really good. Really good. I think this is going to be our Daredevil for 2020.
Oh, yeah?
Unfortunately,
it's only four issues, though.
Yeah. No, six.
Is it? Oh, okay. Six issues.
It says number two of six. Okay. So at least we got that to look forward to.
Yeah.
Good answer to the ending of the last one.
Okay.
If you haven't picked it, if you're listening, you haven't picked this up, I mean, both of us really liked number one.
Yeah.
And number two picks up right from there. And I mean, having the 2 weeks in between was pretty interesting. But I think if you had them back to back, it's maybe not as fun because you're going to get the answer right away to the ending of one.
Yeah. Sometimes that cliffhanger is nice.
Yeah. But then there's another one at the end of this one too.
Okay.
So it's pretty good. Pretty good. And that's it for this week. That's all I've got of note that I checked out this week.
Okay.
Anything else?
No, I don't think so. Feels like it.
Tidy show.
Yeah. Concise.
Concise, yeah. To the point. Well, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't feel very well.
Oh, okay.
I haven't for a few days. I'm pretty beat up. I skated last night hoping to sweat it out, and I think I made it worse.
Yeah.
So, and it'll be reflected in the Monday show. You'll hear why on Monday.
Okay.
It's been a tough week, and it's been a tough week, and the protector didn't help.
Did not help. No.
It did not help. But yeah, so, all right, let's get out of here. We'll have a, you know, nice tidy show here, under an hour.
Yeah. 50 minutes.
It's unusual for us.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty good. What did you guys check out this week? Let us know at Brightside Chat on Twitter at Brightside_chat, or you could email us at brightsidechat@gmail.com. Check us out on Nerdy Legion and check out all the other podcasts there at nerdylegion.com. And don't forget, please, on iTunes, go rate, review, and subscribe. I really appreciate it. That helps us build our brand, as they say. I've been hearing that a lot.
Build our brand.
Build your brand. Yeah, love our brand. I'm actually working on a new sweatshirt I haven't finished the design yet. It could be simple, maybe a little bit more complicated, but our sweatshirt in honor of CW and Arrow show ending, I'm going to come out with a commemorative Brightside sweatshirt.
All right.
So stay tuned for that. Anybody interested, just let us know on Twitter. That it?
Yes, sir.
All righty. We will be back on Monday with Star Trek, the motion picture.
Oldie but a goodie. Maybe.
It's an oldie.
Question mark.
And we'll also brighten the mood with some Picard talk.
All right.
So we'll see you on Monday. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Take care, everyone.
Hey, Fred. Thanks for listening to the Brightside Chat. We have a few sponsors who we'd like to mention. Arkham Comics and Games of Pearland, Texas. You can find them at arkhamcomicsandgames.com, one word. A. Pennyworth's Comics and Collectibles in Matthews, North Carolina. You can find them at apennyworthscomics.com. Apothesis Comics and Lounge in St. Louis, Missouri. You can find them at apothesiscomicsstl.com. Friendly Neighborhood Comics of Bellingham, Mass. You can find them at friendlycomics.com. Legends Comics and Games of Littleton, Mass. You can find them at legendscomics.com, comics with an X. And also Rubber Chicken Comics of Bellingham, Mass. And you can find them at rubberchickencomics.com. So what's cool is all of our sponsors have agreed to give our listeners a 10% discount on any comics we talk about in our podcast. So if you hear it in our podcast, just go into any of the stores that we've mentioned and tell them you listened to the Brightside Chat and you heard about this comic there, and they will give you a 10% discount on any of those books. Hopefully you guys can take advantage of that, and thank you to all of our sponsors. This has been a Hey Fred production with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.